The last thing we teach you to save for is long-term investing. Now, we'll certainly cover that in the retirement and college planning lesson in detail. And we'll give you lots of nuts and bolts and things and exactly what to do and when and all that kind of junk. But in the meantime, let's just look at wealth building just as a concept for a second. See, what causes someone to be able to build wealth is simply this. Discipline. Oh, he's cussing in church. Discipline. Now, none of us like discipline. If you like discipline, there's actually a psychological disorder that causes that. Nobody likes discipline. We like what it produces, don't we? I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, nothing tastes as good as it feels to be thin. And I'm going, well, you hadn't had some people's chocolate cookies. I'm serious, you know. I don't know where. I mean, I run, but I, the reason I do running and do half marathons and everything is just so I can eat more. But we're all kind of that way. Discipline's not our natural state. When you got a 10-year-old son, you know it's not his natural state to go, hey, Dad, can I brush my teeth and take a shower? That doesn't come up with 10-year-old boys. It's not his natural state. You have to help him as his father, as his mother. You know, you got to take a shower, son. Discipline is not something we like. We like the results of it. What happened with money was I found out if I have more, I can give more. And the most fun you'll ever have with money is give. And if I found out if I have more, I can do more stuff with my family and enjoy a higher quality of life. I found out if I have more, options open up to me. And God is happy with that, by the way. He loves it when you have those options. If you live like no one else, later you've got the opportunity to live and give like no one else. One of my favorite scriptures is the Bible says there is no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. What is the it? Discipline. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it takes us where we want to go. Building wealth is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Building wealth is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you can do anything if you train for it long enough. A few years ago, I did 2 full marathons, 26.2 in one day. My first and my last. I run half marathons now. I can recover from those in a reasonable period of time and train for them in a reasonable period of time. I can't do the other. This is not a runner's body. I just live with that. I'm good with that. Okay? And I had to chart out and how many miles I had to run certain days, all the things I had to do, and I had to check it off, and all the process you do. It was the training for the marathon and then the execution of the marathon is so much like wealth building. It requires intentionality. We're trying to change our family tree, trying to change our destiny, trying to change our lives. The scripture says a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. If you were to save, for instance, for 40 years from age 25 to age 65, at $100 a month, that's pizza money, cable money, some of you, your frou-frou coffee's $100 a month. $100 a month invested from age 25 to age 65 at a decent rate of return, 12% on a decent growth stock mutual fund, you'd have $1,176,000. Now, if a 25-year-old gets this message and understands that there is no excuse for Americans to not retire wealthy. Instead, we wander through life and go, man, I sure hope the government, which is well known for its ability to handle money, will take care of me. This is a dumb plan. It's not going to work for you. Now, I like built-in discipline if I can get it, and so I use the pre-authorized checking withdrawals. I have my checking account set up with my mutual fund companies, and it just punches my account every so often. Boom! And then if I'm out of town, boom, it happens. I even set up my utility bills that way, so I always get the discount. It's automatic. I put everything on automatic that I can put on automatic, right? It's the easiest way to live, and so do all of that you can, but create automatic discipline where you can. That's nothing wrong with that. Compound interest is what we're talking about. It's a mathematical explosion. Einstein said that compound interest is the 8th wonder of the world. Now, compound interest is simply this. You take your money down to the bank. Let's take this $1,000, and we take it down to the bank, and we put the money in the bank. Now, you leave it there, and it earns interest, and you leave the interest there. The next year, you earn interest on the $1,000 and on the interest. The next year, you earn interest on the $1,000, on the interest, and on the interest, and you leave it there again. The next year, you earn interest on the $1,000, on the interest, on the interest, and on the interest, and then you leave it there again. That's what compound interest is. The trick with investing is you got to start, And you got to start right now. You got to get started. So we're going to get the $1,000 out of the way. We're going to get the emergency fund built as quickly as we can. We're going to get you out of debt. And then we're going to get you investing as fast as we can in these baby steps, because time needs to be on your side. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's look at Ben and Arthur for a minute. Ben starts saving money at 19 years old. He saves $2,000 a year. He does that all the way up until age 26. At age 27, you will notice Ben puts in zero. Say zero. At 27, he quits putting money in, but he's got the pump primed. The snowball is there. It's starting to roll down the hill, and every time it rolls over, it picks up more snow because it's a bigger ball each time it rolls over. Then his brother Arthur on the other side, he looks up and says, ooh, Ben's saving money. I need to save money. He starts saving money at age 27. Now, let's fast forward all the way to the end of the story at age 65 and see what happens. What happens is, at the end of the story, Ben has put in $16,000 and has ended up with $2,200,000. Arthur, who put in $78,000, only ends up with $1,500,000. The guy who put in $78,000 later ends up with $700,000 less than the guy who put in $16,000 earlier. Some of you are looking at that and going, that's a real nice chart if I was 19. Well, let me tell you this. If you're in here and you're under 25 years old and you grasp what I just showed you intellectually to the point that it drops from your brain into your heart and changes your behaviors, I just made you a multimillionaire. You shouldn't be allowed to graduate from college or high school without being able to explain that chart. It would change America if people understood that chart. So what are we going to do? Well, if you're under 25, I just gave you a hint. Some of you in here like me, you're like over 45. If you're over 45, raise your hand. You probably have a message for those in here that are under 25. You're probably wanting to say something to them like, do it. One, two, three. Wow. Young people, did you hear the voice of regret? One lady said, am I too old to save money? Not if you're still sucking wind. It's not over until you quit. Colonel Sanders never fried any chicken until he was 67 years old. Started Kentucky Fried Chicken as a 67-year-old. Why? Because he couldn't live on a Social Security check. Grandma Moses never painted a painting until she was 85 years old. She did 1,500 works of art, 450 of which she did after age 100. A couple of summers back, my family and I was blessed to get to visit Rome, and one of the tours we went on was through the Vatican. And across the back wall of the Vatican is a thing about three times the size of this area. On the back wall, this masterpiece of the return of Christ at the end of times. And our tour guide told us that that was painted there by a 78-year-old Michelangelo. It's not over until you quit. But with this money stuff, it's a lot easier if you'll get started now. The sooner you start, the less it takes and the easier it is, because you establish that discipline, you establish that pattern in your life. And the rate of return and the interest rate that you get on your money is absolutely important. Let's look at that for a second. Let's pretend that you took $1,000 again at age 25 to age 65 and you were to open a bank account. Let's revisit the olden days. How many of you in here are old enough like me to remember the 1970s when we could go and open a passbook savings account, a little blue or green one, and it paid about 5 3/4? Anybody remember that? Bunch of you. Yeah. I was about 16 or 18 years old. I was putting my lawn mowing money in there. That's why I remember it. I was working, sweating, man, making some money, right? Put that money in there. If you went down and opened that account and you put $1,000 in there at age 25, and you remember compound interest and how it works, you put it in there at 6% interest, and you come back at age 65, that particular $1,000 will turn into $10,000. A little over $10,000. The interesting thing is, if you double the rate of return from 6 to 12, it doesn't double the results. It doesn't go from 10,000 to 20,000. It goes from 10,000 to $93,000. By doubling the rate of return, you go up almost 10 times more, 9.3 times more. And so it's a big difference when we get to college and savings later to not put your kids' savings for college and savings bonds because it doesn't pay anything. Instead, have a good investment because you're going to see a huge difference. And it's not just one plus one. It's not like the difference in two and four. It's huge. And if you continued it and you went from 6% to 12% to 18%, it doesn't go from 10,000 to 20,000 to 30,000. No. It goes from 10 to 93,000 to $750,000. Well, Dave, you can't get 18% on your money. I know that. And I know a place some of you can. It's called plastic surgery. A plastectomy. See, what happens to us is this, and it happened to me, I bet it happened to you. Sharon and I got married, and we were sitting there doing the bills, and there was no money in the house, and I went to the mailbox, and I thought, wow, I wish somebody would send us some money, and no one did. And so we finally had saved up $1,000. We went down to the bank, and I opened up a savings account. I didn't know that the financial institutions in America spend more money selling their products and more sophistication selling their products than any other industry. And so what happened was I put my $1,000 into the account. I opened up my passbook savings, right? And I didn't know it, but what happened was I had started the engine on this marketing machine. Boom, 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 boom. So by the time I get home from the bank, there's already one of these in the mailbox. I mean, they're good. They knew I was coming, right? And so I opened it up, and it's a Visa card, and I looked at it, and it says 18%. And I told my wife, I said, nobody borrows money at 18%. Only crazy people go into debt at 18%. Nobody goes into debt at 18% on purpose. No, nobody would ever do that. No, I'm going to take this card, though. I'm going to put it right here in my wallet just in case there's an
emergency.
Oh, no, you did it too. And we're sitting there doing our bills in March, and the sweat's on the upper lip, and we're having the fight, you know, the bill night fight. You know, when the kids are hiding at the neighbors because dad's doing the checkbook, you know, that night. And so we got $1.66 left in the checking account, but we made it one more week. I'm telling Sharon, all right, we got a plan. We're going to eat every other week, okay? And got it to balance, right? You know it's got to balance because you know you're not in Congress, right? So we finally get it to balance. We mail all the checks out there on Monday. Thursday, I go out to start the car to go to work. I've been going to work all week. And I go out to start the car on Thursday. Car won't start. Well, I take the Tahoe down to my buddy Greg, the mechanic. This was before there was an emergency fund. And he said, Dave, it's an alternator. I said, Greg, I have $1.66 in my checking account. He says, Dave, we don't sell alternators for $1.66. So just this once, I got to fix the car. I got to put an alternator on it. After all, this is an
emergency.
I mean, who knew that cars break? That was a shock. Never happened before. August comes along. The kids come in the house looking like this. They're getting ready to go back to school. Going, Dad, there's a problem, Dad. You're going to have to buy school clothes or pay for counseling, your choice. I'm like, you grew. I told you to wait till Christmas. Your grandmother would have bought it at Christmas. Who knew the children were going to grow? Caught us off guard. So this is an
emergency.
We're going to put it on this just this once. Sitting there in November eating your turkey, and about halfway through you go, oh, no. Because it suddenly occurs to you that this year Christmas is in December. And then we freak out. And those of us that have been, some of you lately, you're amazing. I laugh at you. You're just like, oh, we have to get little Johnny some plastic stuff at Toys R Them. If we don't get little Johnny some plastic stuff, little Johnny's little self-esteem will be damaged. And little Johnny will be led into a life of crime. And little Johnny will be in the prison. And the prison psychologist will say, little Johnny, why have you been in a life of crime? And he'll say, because when I was four, my mother didn't buy me an Elmo. And those of us that are Christians, we Christianize our stupidity. It's Jesus' birthday.
Jesus says, get the children plastic stuff at Toys for Them. It says it in Second Hesitations.
And of course, we had no idea Christmas was going to be in December. So we put the holiday on this because this is an
emergency.
There you go, America. There's our problem. Because see, here's what's actually happened now. I went down to the bank, and you did too. And we opened up a savings account. And we loaned our money to the bank at 6%. And then they were very nice to us when they loaned it back to us at 18%. Wow, that's a great deal for the bank. So what's really aggravating is if you look carefully at this 6% one, the little yellow one, it looks more like your house. And that 18% one looks more like their building. So the bottom line is this. We decided at that point that plastic surgery was in order because I don't like this game. I mean, I don't like losing with money. I don't like the bank taking all my money. So the takeaway tonight is it's really a good idea, and it's even your duty as a Christian to learn to handle money, to take dominion over this subject. And the other takeaway tonight is it's up to you. Your choices take you to where you're going to go. You live in a sowing and reaping environment. You're not going to win except to the extent you engage in the budgeting process. Your first homework piece is the Quick Start Budget. The Quick Start Budget is online. It's also in your workbook, and it simply allows you to lay out your expenses and start to see what your life really looks like. Most of you kind of got it swimming around in your head, but the Quick Start Budget is your very first budgeting form you're going to fill out, and you're going to live with that for a little while until we get into the other numbers and go a little bit deeper. All of our research says the ones that have the most success are the ones that concentrate on the budgeting aspect as they go through. Because that's the place that all of these decisions are made, is on that paper. The more you focus on that, the better your results are going to be as you go through the class. That's going to be very, very important for you. Now, this is a boot camp. I'm your coach. And so I'm going to make you uncomfortable sometimes. You're going to go home and go, I don't really like him tonight. Now, if I agree with that, which would make you wrong. That's what happens when the coach coaches you, doesn't it? He kind of rubs you the wrong way. There's a little friction on there, right? I've had some good coaches, and they lit me up a time or two, but it caused me to go places I couldn't go otherwise. And so you're going to have to go out of your comfort zone to get something you've never gotten before. The accountability is huge in this situation. We're talking about modifying behavior. In the Christian world, we call that discipleship. How does that occur? It occurs by accountability, by someone in the class, someone with you, someone walking with you, your spouse, if you're single, it can be your coordinator, it could be the class in the discussions, but people looking at you and saying, you know, if you're not doing this, why are you here? You know, why are you playing games with it? Look, let's engage in the process. Let's roll up our sleeves and change our lives. That accountability is absolutely huge. Now, don't make any huge financial decisions while you're in the class. Don't go invest $200,000 suddenly. Don't go buy a car while you're in the class. Try not to go buy a home. If you already got one under contract, I guess you got to. But try to hold back and learn the whole picture because it'll give you a different paradigm, a different set of check marks to go through to make those big decisions. Now, if you're here watching this and you haven't signed up to go through the class yet, this is your time. Go ahead and sign up. Last thing is this, at the end of each of the lessons, what we're going to do is we're going to sit and we're going to take one solid minute, and there's a place at the bottom of your workbook to write down some action steps, something you heard during this lesson that you've immediately got to go do, something you've got to do. What is your 1 minute takeaway? Take time to do that right now.